This is Kathy bringing you the County Chronicle for Friday, the 11th of October. First headline, items to be taken to North Carolina on Saturday by Doris Elmore. Valerie and Michael Griffin are heading to North Carolina on Saturday, the 12th, to take supplies to victims Hurricane Helene. The Griffins have had their annual October trip to their farm in North Carolina planned since January. They are leaving on Saturday to get there to assess any damage. They are skirting the north side of Ash Hill and taking a truck and trailer load of supplies. If anyone would like to donate water, food, clothing, shoes, blankets, diapers, baby formula, it gets cold in the mountains, or money, please contact them no later than Thursday. They have Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, and Zelle. You may drop items at their house at 201 South White Oak Street, Camargo, or contact Valerie at 217-433-5463. Since they aren't leaving till tomorrow, you may still have time today to get in there. Bement's Fall Fright Fest to be held October 13th by the editor, Jody Schunkweiler. The Village of Bement is excited to announce their annual Fall Fright Fest will be held on Sunday, October 13th, from noon to 4, weather permitting. The location will be the Bement Forest Preserve Park. In case of bad weather, the event will be moved to the Bement School. The goal each year is to build on the event so that it is more participation and support from our residents as well as neighboring communities. There will be plenty of scares this year. A costume parade has been added to the event, so dress up those kids for an easy trick-or-treat experience. They will venture throughout the park and get some goodies from each station. The costume parade starts at 1 p.m. Bags are provided for storing the goodies. Also new to the event is a bags tournament organized by Brian Walker. Registration starts at noon and the play begins at 1. Katie Levitt, Children's Program Coordinator at the Bement Library, will be sponsoring a scavenger hunt. All kids participating in the spooky crafts will be entered into a drawing to win a prize. One winner of the Guess the Number of Candy Corn will also win a prize. The Village of Bement will be offering free hot dogs and water at the campfire area. Roast your own hot dog or there will be adults to help. Chili will be sold by the Bement Community Council with proceeds going toward Christmas in Bement. Jimmy John's food truck and Maine Scoop of Monticello ice cream truck will be on hand. Hot chocolate will be available by the Methodist Church, and apple cider and popcorn is courtesy of the Crossroads Church. If that does not leave you catatonic, the 7th grade class will be selling walking s'mores. Once again, you can take a hayride around the park thanks to the generosity of Morris Farms. The old-fashioned relay games are not for the faint of heart, so grab a partner and be prepared to laugh until it hurts. Remember the traditional cakewalk done on the 4th of July? Yep, that's not happening. We will have a zombie walk in keeping with the fright part of the Fright Fest. Birth to Five Illinois and ROSC will be handing out information about their organizations, and they will have giveaways as well. This event has something for everyone. No tricks, just treats. Mount Zion Homecoming Coronation. The Mount Zion Homecoming Coronation was held Saturday evening, October 5th. The court was introduced, followed by the crowning of this year's king and queen. Pictured are Princess Therese Townsend, Prince Will Etherton, Gabby Swisser, freshman attendant, Taylor Howell, sophomore attendant, Kaylee Garner, queen candidate, 2024 homecoming queen Brinley Fisher, Ashlyn Ellis, queen candidate, Maddie Moore, queen candidate, and Claire Simpson, Jr., attendant, Noah Schmall, freshman attendant, Ethan Collier, sophomore attendant, Ronnie Cole, king candidate, 2024 Homecoming King Brandon Trimble, Tristan Wyrie, King Candidate, Sammy Driscoll, King Candidate, and Joao de Lima Oliveira, Jr., Attendant. A bunch of good-looking kids. And this article from the Southern Champaign County Today. A lifelong dream of farming becomes a reality for Han during the summer 2024 harvest. Contributed by Diane Ducey, staff writer. My mother, Betty Lou Ducey, was born on her parents' farm in Pisotum, and I've had the pleasure of experiencing ag in action with my first cousin, Chris Houseman, who lives on that homestead and tends to be the sesquicentennial farmmakers now. Another Tolono Fun Day volunteer reached out recently about the good feelings that come from working the land. I get excited when people I know connect with me and share their story. So here's a little insight from Jeff Hahn, who grew up around the corner from me, and I just saw his parents at the St. Patrick's Parish the other day. In the fall of 1974, at the age of 9, my neighbor, Margaret Fisher, asked me if I would like to take a ride to the fields with her as she was taking food out to her husband, Claude, and her son, Gary. Of course, I eagerly jumped at the chance to be around farm equipment. Upon arriving at the cornfield located in Tolono at the corner of First Street and the Philo Slab, we talked with her husband and gave him food as he waited in the grain truck. When the combine returned to that end of the field with her son Gary driving it, he quickly unloaded the grain from the combine into the truck and was passed his food. He then asked me if I would like to go for a ride with him in the combine. I nearly burst out of my skin with excitement as I climbed up the ladder of the huge machine. As we took off and began harvesting corn, I was mesmerized looking out of the cab as the huge machine gobbled up the corn stalks, and Gary explained to me how the machine worked to process the corn into the golden grain that flowed out of the machine into the grain truck when we reached the end of the field. Then my 30-minute ride abruptly came to an end, way too soon for me, as I climbed down from the machine and rode back home with Margaret. That day I fell in love with farming, farmers, and farm life. As I was not from a farm family, I knew my chances of ever working on a farm were little to none. During my junior high and high school years, I did walk beans for various farmers and worked in the beans and doing other farm chores for Steve Riggins. I also worked weekends and evenings after school for Geisy Egg Farm, collecting and packing eggs for about 2 years. As high school ended, so did my time of working on a farm. As my life moved on, I pursued many other forms of employment as I worked my way through college. After graduation from SIUI, I left the state for employment as an engineer in the electric power generation industry. However, my love, respect, and admiration for farming never left my mind. In 2020, I was now retired and decided to move back to Tolono, and totally by chance, I purchased a house with the Fisher family farm in my backyard. During my time back in Tolono, I reacquainted myself with the Fisher family, including Gary and his son Jeff, that now runs the farming operation. During the summer of 2024, I was approached by Jeff and asked if I would be interested in helping with the fall harvest. This quickly awakened those dreams of a 9-year-old boy. Now this fall, 50 years later, I find myself helping the Fisher family with harvest and driving one of their 2 grain trucks along with Gary, hauling corn from that same farmland that I had my first combine ride in 1974. Well, I have now worked one more item off my bucket list, and I guess it shows that even a 50-year-old dreams can be realized. CUMC Blessing of the Animals was held October 6th by Ann Roten, CSCCTP News Correspondent. The Countryside United Methodist Church held a special Blessing of the Animals event that was organized by Janaea Parker, Andy Scroggins, and the Countryside United Methodist Church pastor Jeff Stahl. It took place on Sunday, October 6th. Fun was had by all who attended to have their pets blessed by Pastor Jeff, and to receive some fun treats for their pets, along with a certificate from the church signed by Pastor Stahl that the pets had been blessed. That included the date of the blessing along with a prayer that read, "A prayer for our pets. O God, you have redeemed all creation through your eternal word. Protect our pets, your creatures who provide us with joy and non-judgmental companionship, and give us respect for all of your word-redeemed creation, that we may care for it as stewards of creation. Amen." All types of animals were invited, but the majority who attended were dog owners and their dogs. Pastor Jeff Stahl took the time to bless each pet, and photographer Susan Plackett took photos of the pets with their owners. It was great fun to see the pets and owners posing for their special photo and to see some of the animals playing together and enjoying their treats, some of which included dog biscuits, cat treats, keychains with rubber doggy paws attached, and special doggy and cat collars, while enjoying some great camaraderie with one another. Speaking of photos, your correspondent hopes readers enjoy some photos she snapped of the event published this week in this week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The breakfast, also sponsored by the church, is continuing to take place on Wednesdays during the month of October from 6 to 8 a.m. Remaining dates are October 16th and 23rd. There is no cost, but donations will be accepted for breakfast, with a portion of them benefiting the Unity Elementary Schools. The church is located at 1807 County Road 1000 North in Urbana, between Sydney and Philo on the Sydney Slab, and folks can call the church at 217-688-2422 for more information. Rocket Recap, Fall Seasons in the Home Stretch, by Tony Reitz. The fall seasons are coming to their home stretch, and the postseasons are coming up fast. Here's a look at the last week of Unity Athletics. In football, the Rockets got back to their winning ways on last Friday night. They jumped out to a 48-0 lead before Pontiac finally got on the board in the fourth quarter. Unity got up 21-0 with three Garrett Richardson touchdown runs, and then the passing game heated up. Dane Eisenmenger found three different receivers for the next three Rocket scores. Trey Hoggard, Mason O'Neill, and Crew Eckstein each found the end zone in the other end of an Eisenmenger pass. Keegan Germanos scored the final Rocket touchdown in the third quarter. The Rockets will host Rantoul on Friday night for homecoming. Soccer. Unity got another win under their belt last week. The Rockets took down Olympia 2-0. Tegan Williams scored both of the goals for Unity. Joey Young also contributed three saves in the win. Unity will host Meridian on Thursday at 4:30. Volleyball. The Rockets remained hot last week. Unity won three matches to extend their winning streak to five. Monday and Tuesday, the Rockets took down St. Teresa and Monticello, each in two straight sets. On Thursday, they defeated Paxton 2-1 on the road. Unity is now 18-9-1 on the year. Volleyball will host St. Thomas More on Thursday at the Rocket Center. Boys Cross Country. The boys were off last week preparing for the Illini Prairie Conference Championships. The Rockets will be at the Cumberland Invite at Lakeland College on Saturday. Girls Cross Country. The girls had their final tune-up before the Illini Prairie Conference Championships. They ran on Thursday at the Robinson Invitational. It was another dominating performance by the Rockets. Emily Decker and Mackenzie Pound took first and second place, respectively, out of 95 runners. Ashlyn Denny and Josie Clare took 6th and 7th overall, and Cammy Reedy was 10th to round out the scoring for the Rockets. The girls will be at Metamora for the Run in Red Invite on Saturday. Capital Briefs. Federal agency opposes new state law. Pritzker to lead trade mission to Japan. The Biden administration is asking a federal judge to halt Illinois' first-in-the-nation law curtailing credit card interchange fees before it goes into effect next summer. When fully implemented in July 2025, the law will curtail banks' ability to charge those fees on the tax and tip portion of a debit and credit card transaction. The filing, published Wednesday, frames interchange fees as a core feature of an intricately designed nationwide payment system. The Illinois Interchange Fee Prohibition Act is an ill-conceived, highly unusual, and largely unworkable state law that threatens to fragment and disrupt the efficient and effective system, the brief said. Although the IFPA's requirements are vague and ambiguous in many respects, this much is clear. The IFPA prevents or significantly interferes with federally authorized banking powers that are fundamental to safe and sound banking and disrupts core functionalities that drive the nation's economy. The law, which Governor J.B. Pritzker and Democrats in the General Assembly approved as part of the state's budget process earlier this year, was a concession to the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Retailers had been opposed to the governor's proposed cap on a tax deduction historically granted to them for collecting the state sales tax. IRMA leaders defended the law last week, while Pritzker on Thursday said the Biden administration's filing was not something I'm deeply concerned about. When things get brought to court, you never know how they'll turn out, he said at an unrelated event. I think this one is one that can be defended well, and we'll end up with the law we have on the books being affirmed. Pritzker's Japan trade mission. Pritzker is also set up to join state legislative and business leaders on a trade mission to Japan next week to explore clean energy, manufacturing, life sciences, quantum, and other key growth industries, according to the governor's office. Members of the delegation will meet with their counterparts in Tokyo to discuss strengthening economic ties between the state and the island nation. The delegation represents the governor's office called Team Illinois, a group of government and business officials that work to secure business and economic development partnerships. While it started out informally, it's now a key element of the Pritzker administration's five-year plan for attracting businesses to the state. In total, about four dozen lawmakers, economic development officials, academics, and business people will join the governor on the trip. Among them are House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welsh, Democrat of Hillside, and Senator President Don Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park. Christy George, the CEO of Intersect Illinois, is also joining the delegation. Intersect Illinois is the private economic development organization started by then-Governor Bruce Rauner that has since become a go-between for businesses looking to relocate to Illinois and state government. It works on marketing and site selection in partnership with the state's Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. George stepped into the role in mid-September after working as the executive director of the Democratic National Convention's 2024 host committee. Prior to that, George worked in Pritzker's administration as an assistant deputy governor and as the executive director of the Illinois Commerce Commission. Others heading to Japan include representatives of C Quantum and TCCI, both of which have received multi-million dollar tax incentives from DCEO since last summer. The heads of the state's major utilities, representatives from the University of Illinois and the University of Chicago, and heads of several business-related lobbying organizations are also set to join the delegation. The Pritzker administration has led similar trade missions to the United Kingdom and Canada in recent years. The governor's first trade mission in 2019 was also in Japan. Since then, Illinois exports to Japan have increased 31.7%, while imports from Japan have fallen 22.4%. The Night Sky by David Leakey. October 9th through the 15th. Thursday's first quarter moon means the CU Astronomical Society will hold a free open house at their Prairie Winds Observatory Saturday night, beginning at dusk. If the weather permits, we should get a good look at the magnificent rings of Saturn. These rings are nearly pointed in our direction, so they look nearly like a lighted line across the planet. We also enjoy looking at such sky objects as the Ring Nebula, the Wild Duck Cluster, Albireo, which is a colorful double star, and the Andromeda Galaxy, over 2 million light-years distant. Speaking of Saturn, the moon will show us more of its lighted face as each day passes, until on Monday evening it sits in our sky just left of Saturn in the east-southeast. Recall Saturn was closest to our Earth a little over a month ago, but it still looks great through a telescope. If you use the moon as your guide, you can't miss it. Time to get that dusty telescope out of the closet and give it some use. Philo Library Annual Library Crawl off to a great start. The library crawl is off to a great start. Our patrons have picked up their passports and started visiting other libraries. Some are beginning close to home, while others are visiting friends or relatives in various parts of the Heartland system and plan to stop at libraries on their way to and from their destination. And don't forget, you can borrow books from any Heartland library and return them at any other Heartland library, including Philo. After you visit 5 libraries, come home to Philo and enter the drawing, which will be held November 1st. You can enter each time you visit 5 libraries. When you come in to get your passport, be sure to check out the meeting room, where you stamp your passport and pick up a goodie bag, one per family. We also have photo ops. You can take a selfie or let us take a picture of you standing with a replica of the Center of the Universe water tower or with a handmade quilt and a throw depicting important places in Philo. We are just getting started. Throughout the days and months leading up to the 150th celebration of Philo, we'll have displays of important people and events in Philo's history. Getting ready for the celebration takes a lot of planning and effort. Volunteers are an important part of the success of the celebration. Why not join in the fun? We did receive new books last week, but I've taken up too much space to include the books in this week's article. I suggest you stop in and see what we have on the new bookshelves. Space permitting, next week's column should have information for those of you looking for something new to read. Enjoy your week, and thanks for reading. Tolono Library Weekly Newsletter. In October, and that means thrills and chills here at the library. Kids Story Time is on Thursday, 10:10, from 10 o'clock till 10:30. Bring in the little ones for exciting reading time. We have lots of kid-appropriate Halloween books. Let Clifford the Big Red Dog share his costume, or mix and match Bluey. We have a very exciting teen lounge on Tuesday at October 15th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Come join us in painting faux pumpkins. Decorate however you please. Take them home or leave them in the library to be displayed for the rest of October. Coffee Talk is on Wednesday, October 16th from 9 to 10 a.m. We still have lots of exciting events happening in October. Early voting starts on the 21st. Our art contest runs through the end of the month. The The library crawl is happening all of October, and don't forget the Spooky Bookie Bash on the 30th. When you visit, please be sure to check out our main display. This month's theme is killer thrillers. Grab one of the books and settle in for a night of thrilling reading. As always, please visit our website or Facebook page for more information on any of these events. The Giving Place Weekly. There was a story going around about the Special Olympics. For the 100-yard dash, there were 9 contestants, all of them so-called physically or mentally disabled. All 9 of them assembled at the starting line, and at the sound of the gun, they took off. But one little boy didn't get very far. He stumbled and fell and hurt his knee and began to cry. The other 8 children heard the boy crying. They slowed down, turned around, and ran back to him. Every one of them ran back to him. The little boy got up, and he and the rest of the runners linked their arms together and joyfully walked to the finish line. They all finished the race at the same time, and when they did, everyone in the stadium stood up and clapped and whistled and cheered for a long, long time. And you know why? Because deep down, we know what matters in this life is more than winning for ourselves. What really matters is helping others win, too, even if it means slowing down and changing our course now and then. That was written by Fred Rogers. Today was quite busy at the Giving Place. We served 16 families, 2 new, 54 people with 23 children. Food totaled $1,000, 20 boxes at $50 per box. Thanks to Judy, Karen, Roberta Dale, and Mike for serving our clients Wednesday night. We are now looking for fall and winter clothing, coats, shoes, and boots, etc. The Tolono United Methodist Church started the Giving Place as a community outreach to those in the Unit 7 school district who are in need. Other Unit 7 churches have joined with us in this ministry. We will continue for as long as we are able. If you know of any families in Unit 7 that are in need, please encourage them to visit TGP on Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. We are always in need of volunteers for Wednesday night food and clothing distribution. Contact Roberta Bleichner if you would like to volunteer. Visit some Wednesday and see all the blessings that are happening and maybe become part of it. That was written by Mike Williams. And let's see. Real Life Wellness by Dr. Bill Hemmer. Give yourself grace. I have been in practice for over 36 years. 28 of those have been in Tuscola. I've raised my children here, and I couldn't have picked a better place. But just like everywhere else in the country, I hear people tell me they wish they had this, or they can't believe we still have to put up with that. Life on earth was never meant to be easy. Currently, only 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle, according to Mayo Clinic and CDC. Food deserts are found everywhere, especially in rural or inner-city areas. Our mental health crisis has never been worse because of our constant and continuous reliance on technology. Plus, our physical activity is the lowest levels it has ever been. So is it any wonder you don't feel good most of the time? We are meaning-seeking, emotional, social, storytelling creatures who struggle. Our body and brain have had to try to make sense of monumental changes in our society over the last 120 years, while our genetics and epigenetics have stayed relatively constant for the last 250,000 years. This is the reality of our current society and why we all have trouble making sense of our world today. I'm not saying this to get you depressed or anxious. My reason is simple. You need to give yourself some grace daily. We all have troubles, and if we find a time in our lives that we don't have trouble, we will invent some. We need conflict and trouble to guide us. We want to live with meaning and purpose. My definition of grace isn't spiritually based in this context. Our society has made it almost impossible to build a healthy lifestyle. It's all very confusing, expensive, difficult, and time-consuming. Even the most knowledgeable people still struggle to live a healthy lifestyle all the time. So my simple definition of grace is to do your best given the situation you find yourself in today. There will always be people who have more money, better stuff, and look like they have the world by the tail, but there will also be just as many people who have just the opposite going on. The only way anyone ever makes their grass greener is to be happy with their current plot and do everything you can to make it better. Make the best of your situation every day. It sounds simple, but the best, most satisfying things in life usually are simple. I give myself grace each morning when I wake up. I meditate, pray, and thank God that I have another day to make a difference in someone's life with my words and actions. Then my staff and I take a minute before we begin to say something each of us are thankful for. Gratitude is an extremely powerful way to grace yourself. Finally, at the end of my day, I think about something that brought me joy that day. All these simple practices allow me to cut myself some slack from all the other societal factors that are doing their best to tear me down and keep me in a state of poor health and confusion. I hope you can begin to use these quick tips in your own daily life and find your daily grace. The Sydney Scoop by Ann Roten. Your correspondent hopes readers enjoyed the September 28th Nangangard Pumpkin Patch Opening Day feature article published in last week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Sydney Dairy Barn, located at 311 West Main Street in Sydney, featured pumpkin ice cream throughout the week and through the weekend of the opening day of the Nangangard Pumpkin Patch. Lots of fall fun going on in Sydney and the Sydney Township. The Nangangard Pumpkin Patch is a family-run business, and their hours for the season are 7 days a week from 9 a.m. until dark through Halloween. Payment for purchases is cash or check only. Nangangard Pumpkin Patch is located at 1883 County Road 700 North in the Sydney Township, between Sydney and Philo. There are pumpkin-shaped signs to guide you to their location, the other side of which, thank you as much as you leave. Folks can call Mitch Nangangard at 217-722-7866 for more information. The Sydney Dairy Barn is located at 311 West Main Street in Sydney. Fall season hours are from 12 to 8 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Closed on Monday and open from 3 to 8 p.m. Tuesday and through Friday. Folks can call Ella at 217-688-8026 or email sydneydairybarn@gmail.com for more information. The Countryside United Methodist Church, located at 1807 County Road 1000 North in Urbana between Sydney and Philo on the Sydney Slab, hosted the Blessing of the Animals on Sunday, October 6th. Your correspondent attended the event to snap some photos. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees regular monthly meeting should have taken place on Monday, October 7th. Look for a report in next week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Countryside United Methodist Church are having their annual harvest breakfast from 6 to 8 p.m. on October, let's see, that was this week, 16th and 23rd. Pastor Jeff Stahl says it's the church's way to honor and thank the farmers in our community as they are so busy during the harvest season. They are having biscuits and gravy, coffee and juice. No cost, but donations will be accepted. Those on the run can call ahead to the church for to-go boxes for breakfast, as can folks with questions at 217-688-2422. The next Mid-Central Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, October 19th at 11:30 a.m. at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove. The project for the meeting is collecting men's socks from meeting attendees for the group to distribute at the Danville VA Medical Center. New members, men and women, are welcome, and folks can call Vice President Marjorie Miller at 217-202-4397 for more information. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the Post Home, located at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney, on Monday, October 21st at 6 p.m. Prospective new members are always welcome and encouraged to attend, and all monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held at the Post Home. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank Foodmobile travels to Sydney every month to serve those in need of food assistance and are at the Sydney Community Building parking lot, located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney, the first Tuesday of every month from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The next Tuesday that they will be in town is Tuesday the 5th of November, and folks can visit the food bank website at www.eifoodbank.org for more information. Have a great week. If you or your organization have news items that you want published, drop a line to Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491, Sydney, Illinois, 61877. News items must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. And that's all we have today from the Southern Pike County newspaper, Southern Champaign County, October 9th. 2024. This is Kathy wishing you a good weekend.